Hello, my friend, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 30th of October. Before I get started today, I want to introduce to you the next 2 days of podcasts. Tomorrow is Friday, and it will be Long Form Friday. In fact, we will have Long Form Friday for the next 2 Fridays. I have received the source CDs from our meetings in Goldsboro, North Carolina. I'll give you the details tomorrow, but they're over 2 hours. The Q&A was over 2 hours. I'm going to break it up and do just over an hour tomorrow and then just over an hour next week. We did 2 sessions, so it'd be smooth to break them into those 2 sessions. I'll give you the details on what that's about as we start the podcast tomorrow, and then it'll be a long Q&A. I hope you can enjoy a wonderful journey through several questions and answers. And then on Saturday, the 31st of October, we will do our Deeper Daily Podcast Essay Edition. This is the essay that I write every month about various topics, whatever they might be, and we'll air that for you on the Saturday edition, the final day of the month of October. And then when November 1st commences, we are going to break away from the studies of Old Testament stories for just a couple of days because I had 2 questions from 2 different people. One via messenger, one via email, come in the last, 8 to 10 days on the same topic. And when that happens, I really perk up and pay attention. So I will introduce that to you on Sunday and then start to talk about it. And it'll take us probably a couple of podcasts, maybe 3 podcasts, to answer this question. And the question came in from a man and a woman. And I don't guess they know one another. And so I want to deal with it, and I think it'll be a really fun look at a passage. It is from the New Testament, but what better place than the DDP to explore those kinds of themes? Okay, that means today's psalm is the last psalm we'll deal with for nearly a week, if you count the fact that we'll spend a few days on that Q&A, or on that question, rather, when we get into the month of November. But we are not abandoning this journey, okay? We will come back to the Psalms and then keep working our way through those Old Testament stories because I have still had such a good time doing that, and I don't feel compelled to leave that permanently. Today, we are in one of the most famous Psalms. I want to deal with Psalms 51. Now, as I said at Psalm 23, I don't think there's a more famous chapter in the entire Bible than Psalm 23. But I don't know that there's a more famous prayer of repentance in the entire Bible than Psalm 51. The psalm is titled to the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. And if you need a refresher on what that story is all about and when that happened, go read 2 Samuel chapter 12. David has sinned by committing adultery. He has performed, in so many ways, murder. He didn't actually kill Bathsheba's husband, but he directed his death. He covered that up for quite some time, possibly a year, because his child is alive when the child that came out of that union is alive when he is confronted with his sin, which means she had been pregnant for at least 9 months. So there's been nearly a year has passed, and it looks like he gets by with it, so to speak. He's then confronted by the prophet Nathan, and you can go read that story for yourself. David then repents. I've heard it said that, in fact, I heard this preached here a while back, David is a man after God's own heart because David was quick to repent. I don't agree with that. I don't think David was quick to repent. I think David was slow to repent, and I think his slow repentance was a problem that may have ultimately cost him his throne. I think David was a man after God's own heart because of the tabernacle of David. It's the most unique moment. His sinning with Bathsheba is not unique. Men fail. Men and women fail. What was unique about David was him putting that tabernacle in a tent and letting all of Israel come in front of it and him blessing them with food and wine. That is God's heart. You put the tabernacle in the house of Obed-Edom, a Gentile, and he gets blessed, that's God's heart. And that is a blessing that there's no real way to quantify how important that is in the economy of God. So what I want to do today is I want to read for you all 19 verses, and I'll make comments as we go. And I want you to see how old covenant the prayer is, but how anticipatory of a new covenant the prayer is. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. That's how you want God to be merciful, by the way, is loving kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. By the way, you get constant cleansing of sin, according to 1 John. The active Greek word, the blood of Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. That's constant cleansing. You get this all the time. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. That's not entirely true, by the way. When you do sin, it's not against God and God only that you sin. It's also against the people you love and the people you hurt. But you don't have to pray perfectly to capture the heart of God. And that might be the lesson to take away from this as well. That you might may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. That verse has been used to try and establish original sin, that we're born and conceived into sin. I think it could be David's way of saying one of two. I don't think it's David's way of saying we're all born with original sin. I think it's David's way possibly of saying one of two things. One, I was born into a sinful world. Two, and this one is not as, this one's pretty controversial, but I think this is the very possibility that maybe David's mother and David's father were not married. David is an afterthought. When Jesse brings his sons to stand in front of Samuel to be king, he only brings David after he's brought all of his boys. And then it's like, oh, well, there's this other kid. And he brings David. And there's this, I think there's an indication that David was not a full-blood brother of the rest of the boys. And I think that could be something that hangs over David when he says, I was brought forth in iniquity and sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you'll make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. You never, ever, ever, ever have to pray verse 11. God will never cast you from his presence and he'll never take his Holy Spirit away from you. His gifts and callings are without repentance. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold me in your generous spirit that I will teach transgressions your ways and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. I used to say, what gives David the right to say this? And I still believe that, but I now have a sort of a growing revelation that David understands the heart of God. That God's heart was never sacrificed. God never delighted in burnt offerings. What God wants to see is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you'll not despise. And by broken, I don't mean shattered. I mean circumcised. Because God told Israel in the Torah, circumcise your heart. Yet there's no way they could circumcise their hearts according to the new covenant. But they can anticipate it, that the day's coming our hearts will change. And that's a new covenant prayer. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion, build the walls of Jerusalem, that you should be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering, with whole burnt offering, they shall offer bulls on your altar. This is quite a prayer, and when you see it through the lens of the finished work, I think there's a lot of things in it to meditate on and consider. Okay, tomorrow we will do the Long Form Friday Q&A. See you then. God bless.